Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 2. We started last week to speak about a family that do God's will. And we will continue today to speak but we will tackle today it will be Christ's best celebration. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2 verse 1 to 8 and then we will enter discuss this important topic and mission drive of our church. The same came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house, and he was in the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank and we praise you. We adore you. We magnify your name. Anoint my lips, O God, and help me to deliver your word. It will be done in our life, the life of your church. Pray for you. Speak the truth to us. Open our mind to understand scriptures and to apply them carefully, that we will not be drift away by all the worldliness that is going on around us. I pray for humility in each and everyone heart to accept your will and walk in the fear of yours. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Why the church today celebrate what is called the Christmas, which is Christ's birth? The Word of God contains many scriptures that speak about Christ's birth, and it is good to celebrate the birth of our Lord. But the early church, the apostles, did not celebrate that. And even Christ did not recommend that his apostles or the church to celebrate this. The Lord, in his word, say to proclaim the Lord's death until he come. But it is good also to proclaim the birth of Christ, that Christ came on earth, born from woman under the law. And that is here we can read it, is in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When you say, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So here, Christ's birth is important to be proclaimed, because Christ is a man and he is also God. And that is one of the important things in our salvation, that Christ was sent from God. He was born from a woman for our salvation. That's why it is recommended to celebrate that. But does the Holy Spirit spoke to the church to celebrate it? Or the church had desire to celebrate the birth of Christ? Now, even if the Holy Spirit did not say it, the church desired to celebrate, it is also good and fine. And God had granted the desire of His church. When the desire of the church is going into a good and noble desire, God had granted the desire of David to build for him a house. When God sees His church is moving with a good intention, God will not contradict His church. So it is fine to celebrate Christ's birth. But what is going on? Christ's birth had been put for a long period of time and was put in a date that is the same date that the pagan was worshipping their idol god, the sun. 25th of December. That agreeing upon that is that's the day of Christ's birth, that's not in the Bible even, was the same day that the pagan sun worship celebrate their God's son. Some of them, they were, even on that day, they kneeled down before the sun toward the east as they worshiping that God. The church, in order to please certain pagans, to bring them, to make them come to Christ or make the church something lovely to them, had put Christ's birth on the same day of their God worship. I am not here to go into the details of this. There's a lot of story of these things that is not hidden from church leaders or those who are responsible on making decisions about these things. They know it very well. Part of that feast that the pagan do, they have also their trees. They have green trees, and during that feast of the pagan, and they decorate their trees with some fruits, and also they have exchange gifts, and they have also a time of holiday, and that's where we have Christmas holiday 2 weeks, 3 weeks all over the world in the area that they celebrate this. But now it is all over the world, they don't celebrate Christ's birth by following His word or knowing His word or not drawing near to Him, but drawing towards all these idols manifestations. That is coming on, the Christmas tree, the Santa Claus, the gifts, the parties, the games. And the church get corrupted with these things. That would not help the church at all. We as a church, we have suffered of this. We have recognized it is not the will of God to go through all these ways of life. As we have read here, Christ was born in a very critical situation. His father and his mother were suffering. And he was born was put on a manger. That will not agree and explain what the world is doing today in expenses and worldliness and what they call it celebrating Christ's birth. Let us go now to December 26. Is that the day that Christ was born? No one knows the days exactly, but let's go to the scriptures. The scripture informs us the day of Christ's birth is not in winter. What we have read here, we in verse 8, that they were shepherds And then there were shepherds watching over their herds in the open field. And that is 25th of December. The place that Jesus was born is a very cold place. Shepherds and sheep will not be staying overnight. And they say that they were watching over their sheep in the field. They should keep them in the pen and sleep in the very cold area. And also when the angel of the Lord appeared to them and he gave them the good news. Okay, if you can read verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. In the same hour that the angel told them about this, they went in haste. If that is a winter season and summer, they will not be able to move in such an easy way. Even in verse 1 and 2, when you say that there will be attacks, or there will be that Caesar will make a census and he will do the taxation of it. He will not do it most likely in a very cold season. He would, especially if you think about where he was conquering in Europe, that is where the snow season, and would be very hard for people to move in that very particular time. So from these just a few scriptures, we can understand that Christ's birth was not in December, and not even in December 25th, that's with the peak of the cold. Now, we should be thinking not to celebrate in such a date, especially there are people celebrating such a date in a very worldly way, and the church should not live with such ways of life. More evidence of scripture about the days of his birth. In Luke chapter 1, there's more evidences about the approximate time of his birth. I'm not arguing here against a day. I'm not arguing here about knowledge or the date is wrong. I am just moving the church from away from the area of idol worship. When December comes, we are influenced by our relatives, we are influenced by friends, we are influenced by other churches to go along their agendas. Let us understand it. Let us move away from that day. Let us find another date. We need to celebrate it because it is the Word of God, and it is good. Even if the church itself was desiring to celebrate it, it's fine. It's correct. Christ born from a woman under the law. Savior came, but let us move away from idol worship. Let's work it out. This church has worked out for the last 7 years. We have removed the Santa Claus, all with battles. We have removed Christmas trees, all big battles and fights. We have removed games, Always battles and fight. Let us now today, this year, let us move today. Based on the scriptures, not based on man's will. I am telling to you what is the purpose of delivering this sermon. Is to move the church away more, away from worldliness. We celebrate Christ's birth on the proper day that the scriptures agree, in a proper way that the scriptures ordain. I am not here to please men. And if it causes another fight and persecution, fine, I bear it. And those who belong to Christ, they will bear it. In Luke chapter 1, Christ, before he was born from Mary, she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost, as all of us know the story. Her relative Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, was pregnant by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, God sent before Christ to prepare the way for him. He is approximately 6 months ahead, his birth, 6 months ahead of Christ. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke was the one who gave the fact and investigate, and he wrote more elaborate things to inform us, to let us know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. That is in verse 4. In verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in and in years. So that is the status of Zechariah. He is from the family of, is important his family here? His name Zechariah, of the course of Abia, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, both of them from the priest family. In verse 8, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, in the order of his course, in order of his division. Now these long years, I am looking for some instruction to be aware of these things. The Lord just unfolded to me this year. I am struggling with December 25th. I cannot cancel it because wrong, and I don't know where to move it. This man, he is from the house of Abia, from the division of Abia, that is from Aaron the priest. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 24 and see the division of the priests that David had ordained, and till the time of Christ when he came, that order of their course was followed. They have a rota. Even when they left, they went to exile and came back, they're still having the same order they follow. 1 Chronicles chapter 24. And I will read from verse 1 to verse 10. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Itamar executed the priest's office. And David distributed them, both Zadok of the son of Eleazar and Abimelech, the sons of the Itamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the son of Eleazar than of the sons of Itamar. And thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Itamar according to the house of their fathers. Thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and the governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and of the son of Itamar. And Shemaiah, the son of Nathaniel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes and Zadok the priest and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, and before the chief of the fathers of the priests of Levites, one principal household being taken for Eleazar and one taken for Itamar. Now, the first lot came forth for Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malkijah, and the sixth to Benjamin, the seventh to Hakuz, the eighth to Abijah. And we will continue to read till the end of the chapter. There are 24 divisions. How many divisions? And they cast a lot. They give the order. There were 15 teams, each team from certain family. They cast the lot from the time of King David. They are the descendants of Aaron. His first two sons died. They are not married. They don't have children. Itamar and Eleazar left, and this is their descendant. The descendant of Eleazar having more divisions. They have 16 divisions. Itamar having 8 divisions. Total is 24. If we divide them per year, how many days for each and every one of division? 365 or 360 divided by 24. It will be approximately 15 days. Every division will go to the sanctuary because that's what we have read here. You say, in verse 5, thus were they divided by lot, one sort with another, for the governors of the sanctuary and the governors of the house of God were of the son of Eleazar and the son of Itamar. So they will go on time. They will finish their duty 15 days and they will come. But David did the same with the singer and with the and also with the Levites. He had divided them. Now the eighth lot was fall on the family of Abijah. The family of the Abijah is the same family of Abijah that Zechariah the priest came from. Can you get the point? Zechariah from the division of Abijah is his lot, his duty is the eighth on the rota list. His list, he knows that he is the eighth. Their division, they go on certain period of the year. Now we need to find out where that division had served the Lord in which time of the year. It is fixed. It is 1 to 24. They start from the first division. They will start from the beginning of the year, the first month. That's the first month. They will finish 15 days. They will go back. Next division will come after the second division after them. The second division finish. The third division will come. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 until 20. 4 division finish. 1 year finish. Start a new year. Now let's speak now about this. I'm going to write all these things as documentation. So based on that is our decision. Now we need to find out the first month of the year. Now the Jewish calendar, it is based on the lunar. It is lunar year based on the moon. It is 11 days, they have 12 months, but it's 11 days shorter than our calendar today, that is 365. It is 11 days shorter. So what they do the Jewish calendar, every 2-3 years they add one more month to just correct it. Because if they will not do that, the days, the feast will be moving every year 11 days earlier, 2 years it is 22 days, 3 years become 33 days, that is 1 month difference. So every 2-3 years they add 1 month so that gap will be filled so that the feast that they celebrate, it will not be moved. Is that correct? The feast of the Jewish, they have 3 feasts, right? The Passover, the weeks, that is the where the Holy Ghost born on the church, Pentecost. Passover is where our Christ being crucified. And the third feast is the Tabernacle. It is not moving. In the first month, and after the first month, the feast of the weeks, 50 days, seven weeks on the on it, after 49 days, there will be the feast. And the last feast, the Feast of Tabernacle, is in the seventh month. Now, the first month of the Jewish year is the month of Abib. And that is, you know which date? Month of Abib is between March and April. Between March and April. That's why we celebrate Easter. Amen. We celebrate Easter. The word Easter is in the Bible. I find it also. In the Bible, that is why we celebrate on end of March or beginning of April or in the maximum mid of April. Every year difference because the Jewish calendar is changing and they are adjusting it. So that they will not drift away. Their feast will not be moving in the wrong seasons. And even the church today should adjust its service so that we will not be drift away with the worldliness that is so common around us. In the book of Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 16, chapter 13, and verse 4. Say, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which he came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by the strength of the hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no uneven bread to be eaten. Verse 4, this day came you out in the month Abib. The month Abib is the first month. And that is where March or April, in that area. In chapter 12, and verse... Verse 5 and 6. of the which time they will do the Passover. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. That is the month of Abib, the first month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. In verse 2 from the same chapter, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of your of the year to you. So when God gives them that, when the day that they will go outside, He told them this month shall be the first month for you. I don't know what they were following at that time, which calendar, whatever, but He told them from now on, this month of Abib, this is the first month for you. You need to follow. On the 14th day of the month, and I think in the daytime, 10, speak ye unto all the congregation, saying that in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. You know, on the 10th day of the month, you take a lamb. On the 14th day in the night, slaughter this lamb. And that's where we celebrate the Easter season, based on the death of our Lord, for our Passover lamb had been crucified. So that was the first month for them. Now, if we suppose approximately, we get that that 1st of April is the beginning of the year for them. And the division of Zacharias, the priest, is the 8th division, right? So every group, every division getting 14 to 15 days. So which time the duty that Zechariah had went and he come back? April, 2 divisions. May, 2 divisions. June, 6 divisions. July, the second part of July, the division of Zechariah, the son of, from the division of Abaya. I check it also in Arabic. Zechariah, son of Abaya. Zechariah here in Arabic also Abaya, not Abijah. The commentary also say it is Abaya. Now let's go to Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 1. And we know the story how the angel appeared to him. And he did not believe, and he told him he will be kept silent dumb until the child is born. In verse 23 say, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. What you see here that once he finished his duty, he did not go right and left, right? Where he went? He went directly, departed to his own house. So there's no waste of time. Where then he was living? Where he was living, Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife. The Bible tells us where they are living. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and he gave her the good news that she is going to be pregnant, and he told her that your cousin or your relative is also pregnant, the Bible tells us where she moved. Let us read also verse 24. We read verse 23 that he departed immediately, no waste of time, verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying. So after these days, which days? The days of his menstruation finished, and when he arrived home, because that's what you say here. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his menstruation were accomplished, in verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So there was no gap. God was, when he was telling him, God is executing that plan that his son will be born. The angel of God moved to Mary, and Mary, after she received the news, she moved to visit Elizabeth. In verse 36, the angel told her, and beheld, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called by. So she was on the sixth month when the angel, when Mary got pregnant, Elizabeth was already, when Mary was pregnant by the Holy Ghost, Elizabeth was in her she not yet finished, but in her sixth month. In verse 39, let's see where Mary was moved. In verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. So where she went, Mary? She went in haste, very quickly. Where she went? Into a city in the hill country, yeah, but you say it, into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah. Now let's go now to Joshua 21, where we find out where are the division of the towns of the priests. So she went to Judah. From the city of Nazareth, she moved and reached one of the towns of Judah. Joshua 21. And we will read verse 10 and 11. Which the children of Aaron, being of the families of the Kohathites, who were of the children of Levi, had for theirs was the first lot, and they give them the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. So what is in the hill country of Judah? Which city they give them in the hill country? Hebron. They give them city Hebron. Mary, when she was hear the news about her cousin, where she went in Judah, in which place? In the hill country. So most likely they were living, Zechariah and his wife, they were living as a priest in the city that is allocated for them. Even after exile, what was there? It continued. They were living in the city of Hebron. Now, Mary traveled from the city of Nazareth to Hebron. What is the distance between the city of Nazareth and Hebron? How long it took her to travel? Why I need to go all these details? Because you will ask me, it may take her how long to travel from city to city, or for Zechariah to travel from his duty to back to his home, it may take him 1 month or 2 months, yeah? But when we know the geography And we know the distance, we can tell how many days it took Zechariah when he left the duty to go out to his house. You know what is the distance? The distance between the city of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of Hebron in Judah is 100 miles. I took it by Google. And I found out also if I would go by walking how many hours. And say it needs 32 hours. So how many days for Mary to travel from? How many hours? How many days? If you need to walk 32 hours, how many days? 4 or 5 days? 1 week. The distance between Hebron and Jerusalem. You know how many? The distance between Hebron and this one Jerusalem is 22, approximately 22 miles. To walk this distance, you need approximately less than seven hours. So how long it took Zechariah to leave his duty on Jerusalem to join his wife and go to his house in Hebron? How many days? He needed to walk 7 hours. How many days? Maximum 2 days, 3 days, fine. If he has a horse, and I mean, it's a short period of time. So most likely, by the end of August, Elizabeth was pregnant with her first baby. So let's count now. End of July, she was pregnant, because he said that when these days accomplished, he departed to his house, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And you get the point? Then they did not tell him, next year I will come, then we will find him. The Bible says, these days. So by the end of July, first week of August, she is already pregnant. And the man, he knows that he will not be able to speak unless his wife gets born of a child. So he was also cautious to go to his house early and obey the Lord. So if she was pregnant, the end of July. Let us count now. August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. So he was born in April approximately. How many difference between Mary and Elizabeth? 6 months maximum. Okay, May, June, July, August, September. So which time Jesus approximately our Lord born? October. And that's explainable because October is a very fair weather. You can sleep in the Middle East without cover, even in the field, or little cover. It's a very comfortable weather. And also for taxation, for traveling, it is acceptable. Most likely he was born in the month of October. Some they say even, and I was also thinking about it much, that he was born during the period of the Feast of the Tabernacle. Some they explain that why they did not find a place in Bethlehem. They did not find a place in Bethlehem because during the Feast of Tabernacle, there will be migration of the Jewish men to go to Jerusalem to celebrate that feast. And when they don't have places, they will move from Jerusalem to stay the night or to move, because it is 7 days. They may also extend to the villages and city around. One of the villages or the city or the towns around is Bethlehem. Bethlehem, distance between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, as I found it in the Google, is only 5 miles. 5 miles need only 2 hours walking distance. So, because it was crowded, Joseph and Mary were not able to find a place in the house. That's why they found a place in the to put their firstborn child in the manger. With this message and what God had revealed in His Word, I'm very comfortable today. As a church, we need to move our Christ birth celebration. No more we call it Christmas, because already is abused in the world. We call it Christ's birth celebration. Whatever day suitable for our congregation and for us, for you to celebrate during the month of October, we celebrate it. We honor Christ, and we join with Him in mission, join with His parents' suffering, join with the simplicity, humbling ourselves before God. Let's all stand. Lord, thank you for your word to us. Lead us, O God. Give us undivided heart so that we will fear your name. We will humble ourselves. We will depart from worldliness. Teach your church and your people, the members, your ways. Lead us in the way that you want us to move. Thank you, God.
Teach me your ways, O Lord, my God.
Bless us, Lord, bless us indeed. In life, ever to the God, let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, be with us all, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.